Hey everyone, it's Cam Hurt, host of the Best Show Ever podcast, and we have got a second season coming out very soon that I am very excited about. We've got some very cool special guests, including musical acts that we all love, like Karina Reichman, Daniel Donato, Jake Brownstein from Eggy, Rick and Peter from Goose, and many more. Tune in for new episodes dropping on Osiris Media March 5th on the Best Show Ever podcast.
Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of eight cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you.
Osiris.
Going on, everybody. This is Karina Reichman here, alive, in the flesh, thrilled to be here. And I am joined, as usual, by my dude. He's about to be the intrepid world traveler. Right now, we're sitting across from each other on the couch. My dude, Isaac Sloan, how are you, pal?
Karina, I'm beaming with joy. How are you?
I am in a similar state, and very pleased to be able to say that as we sit across from each other about to dive in to the world of music. It's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing. Fantastic. And I just had a totally recall that you're playing Bonnaroo in 2 weeks.
Next week. Yeah. Good call.
Wow.
Yeah. It you forget and then you remember and you're completely overtaken. Which is crazy.
I really like that we went to Bonnaroo in 2009 and you said that you weren't planning on going back unless you played. And I think that was it's just something you kind of tucked away and here it is. It's happening. You're going. You're playing with your band.
Shocking. It's shocking. It's the shit that you can't script, you know? We have in, Judaism, Dayenu.
Dayenu.
Which means, for those of you who don't know, it means this would all of this would be enough. You know, if it all ended tomorrow, it would already be enough, which is a feeling I have quite literally all the time. That's so unnecessary to it's crazy that this shit just keeps going and shit like that happens. That's crazy. How? What? I'm playing Bonnaroo next week? That's fucked up, dude.
Oh. So yeah, like I said, we went to Bonnaroo in 2009 and we had a lot of firsts that time.
Without a doubt. It was the first time, because, you know, I went to Jones Beach with you the week before, basically, mm-hmm. to see the band Fish, right? But I didn't know what was really happening at all, except experientially it was beyond, for many reasons. But then going down to Bonnaroo was with you, you know, I remember very much asking you, Isaac, what is this song? What is happening? How do these people know how to clap in unison? Who is Wilson? What is this song, Punch You in the Eye? Why do I like it so much? You know, and you telling me what the best version is. New Year's 95.
Is that the best version? I think we should go on record that it's the best version.
You told me that when you were 14 and I was 15, so I've taken it to heart this entire time.
I love that version.
I love that version too. I certainly took it as gospel then.
If any listeners have a better version of Punch You in the Eye than New Year's 95, let us know. We'd like to hear it.
100%. No, and it was definitely there where, if that didn't set the gear shift for something, God, it was one of the greatest. I still hearken back to it, obviously, as one of the completely pivotal moments in my life where I was just like, if I am not completely drenched in music forever, there's something wrong, you know?
Well, I'm thinking about after Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band played.
Yeah.
And we went to the Nine Inch Nails set. Yeah. And there was a fire dancer who dropped her fire. And we were just like, this is great.
Oh, it was the best. Yeah, 100%. And this is like young, like early high school for you and I. You know, that was the end of ninth grade for me.
I was just about to go into high school.
Which means it was the end of eighth grade for you, which is really just a shocking thought. You ever see an eighth grader these days? For the record,
I don't think I really do come in contact with many eighth graders.
I don't either, but I know what they look like. And to think that one of them was you 12 years ago telling me that the best version of Punch You in the Eye was New Year's 95 is shocking. It's unbelievable. And yeah, we were definitely, I don't want to say unfazed, but, you know, the fire dancer dropping her fire during, you know, the Nine Inch Nails song Burn, you know, that did something for me on a clinical level.
Right. No, I know.
Unbelievable stuff, really.
Really sets the gears of your brain in motion.
God.
In many ways.
Many ways. And, of course, we'd be remiss not to mention the Beastie Boys' last concert ever. Was yeah. there that we saw. And of course, we were rehearsing the lyrics to Paul Revere like madmen and women, I will say, with our friends Bella and your brother Nathan and everybody just kind of gearing up for what was probably my favorite band at the time and continues to be, you know, the Ad Rock and MCA and fucking Mike D's words course through my brain on a regular basis, daily, you know. So that was a special thing to get to see. And Nas came out, sat in with them. Very cool New York shit on a farm in Tennessee. Really amazing.
Really
and then,
amazing.
Of course, sorry, we're harkening back. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yes.
Which we saw many times that summer and the summer following, you know. Government Mule.
Yep.
You saw Ani DeFranco. I did not.
I definitely went to a tent at like 3 in the afternoon and saw an Ani DeFranco set. Yep.
Pretty sick. Pretty fucking sick.
I remember like passing by Galactic and like just starting to understand the kind of scope of the newer funk acts and, you know, other people who were sort of on the jam circuit and thinking, wow, this is really cool. Like, yeah. This is this music coming to life in a really special way in a cool place.
It's crazy, right?
Which I feel like is really the theme of our show.
Couldn't agree more.
Yes.
And who would have thought that young you and young me would be so enraptured by such things, but we were.
Yeah, right? I mean, this Inappropriate Happiness is brought to you by Bonnaroo in so many ways.
So thanks, Bonnaroo 2009. And now, you know, it's really fascinating. I've thought about it a lot. You know, you look at the Bonnaroo lineup now, right?
Yes.
You're headlined by J. Cole, mm-hmm. The Chicks, mm-hmm. Illenium.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, he's a DJ. He's a producer. He's a, you know, it's an EDM situation, you know? And it's really interesting when you look at this lineup because it almost feels like two festivals in one with, you know, that would attract wildly different audiences under one umbrella, if you will, which I, you know, if you look at 09 and before, I would say it's much more kind of linear or like
live music enthusiasts
100%
kind of festival,
whereas this it's like catering to like maybe the 15 through 26 year old crowd, and
so
then
probably are more eighth graders these days
100% yeah. Right, and then the I would argue, you know, 40 and up,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
what I mean, and it's kind of interesting how and you could say that about many of the major festivals, even Lollapalooza more strikingly, mm-hmm. which is an interesting thing that people are doing, and I get it, and it's just interesting to see the development of these things, and especially, you know, with Bonnaroo roots obviously being deeply entrenched in jam world. You know, everybody has a story that I know about being at the first Bonnaroo, and man, it was so sick, and, you know, all of the jam bands were there, and all, you know, just that scene was sort of fostered through that, much like the Horde Tour, much like all of that, you know, good late 90s, early 2000s shit that was going on. So, amazing that I get to take part in this now that it's become sort of like a mainstream, you know, pop, still woozy, all this shit that I like barely know about. And I'm going to really know about it shortly. So we'll see. It's an amazing thing. And yeah, that's next week. Can't wait. But Isaac, you are going off and doing something wildly cool. And I know we will touch base on it next week from abroad. Isaac is going to Europe and he's going to tell you exactly what the fuck he's doing. And it's cool as shit. Isaac, why are you going to Europe?
Good question, Karina. So I write about the author, James Joyce.
Dude.
And his most acclaimed, or maybe not acclaimed, but most widely recognized, his magnum opus, Ulysses, is turning 100 this year. It's 100 years since it was published. And there is a big international gathering of Joyceans, and I'm going to give a paper. And I booked this a long time ago because I was excited about the opportunity to speak at the conference. And it just so happens that a little band called the Rolling Stones are playing right across from Dublin in Liverpool.
Dude.
And so tomorrow I will fly out, fly into Manchester, take a train to Liverpool, and go see the Stones. And then on Saturday, I will wake up and take a ferry over to Dublin to give a paper at the International James Joyce Conference.
If that isn't the most gangster shit you ever heard, you are absolutely tripping and you're hanging out with the wrong crowd, because I think that is the coolest shit ever. And wow, 100. I didn't know it was Ulysses' 100th birthday.
Centennial.
Centennial Ulysses International Conference. Let me tell you guys, the listeners, there are going to be no slouches present at this International James Joyce Conference, and it's a fucking crazy thing that my boy iBoogs Isaac Sloan over here is giving a paper. Like, that's so next level.
Thanks, and, Mary. Now I'm totally honored and very pumped.
Dude, and his paper is 10 minutes long.
20 minutes.
20 minutes long. 10 pages. 10 pages, 20 minutes. That's what you told me. And it's going to be some next level shit. And of course, we will dive deeper into this when he is literally doing the podcast overseas. This is our first overseas podcast. My first.
I like that we're not taking the week off. I like that I'm traveling with a microphone in order to do the Inappropriate Happiness podcast.
Absolutely. And I will wake up as early as you need me to make this happen here on U.S. soil. It's going to be great. Oh my God. Anytime. I love it. So this is huge. We're going to cast our boy iBooks out to sea, quite literally. and then we'll catch up with you when you're overseas. And, you know, obviously, but next time we speak, you will have given the paper.
Yes.
And I will have seen the stones. Which is absolutely fucking crazy. Amazing. Safe travels.
Thank you.
You got this.
I think so.
Dude, and don't, y'all, if you're going to hyperventilate, just go to the bathroom and hyperventilate and come back, and then you're going to be just fine. Don't let these people tell you.
I'll make sure to do it before I can't get no satisfaction.
Okay, good. Perfect. Perfect. Oh my God, dude. Next level. Well, here on U.S. soil.
I was about to make that same segue.
Get out. Get out.
How about that? Here on U.S. soil.
When you share a brain, it's really convenient.
Band that decides to really only play on U.S. soil these days, with the occasional trip to Mexico.
Sure.
Phish delivered a 3-night run at the Ruoff Music Center in Noblesville, Indiana, otherwise known as Deer Creek.
Deer Creek, baby. Deer Creek. It happened.
What do we got to say about this?
Dude, a lot. I mean, first of all, we touched on it last week, but Deer Creek, obviously, very legendary within the Phish community. Everyone loves it. People camp there. It's a vibe. Phish plays exceedingly well there. And, well, there are a few things, a few standout things. First of all, a lot of people have a lot to say about the Slow Maze.
Slow Maze.
I think we got to start off dissecting the Slow Maze. What do we make of this?
Maze, a tune off of Rift that is usually played at high speed and then takes off from there into a rip-roaring jam.
Amen.
Was played in a slow funk style for the encore of Saturday Night's show. And people don't seem too happy about it, right? That's like the general consensus. Is like, if you like Slow Maze, you're lying, is like something I've heard a lot.
Right. I've seen plenty of that as I peruse things I really should keep my nose out of, but absolutely, meaning Twitter, message boards, you name it. But Yeah, no, everyone's a critic about the slow maze. I, you know, to me, oh, wow, the band I love is playing a tune of theirs in a new and interesting way on a lark at Deer Creek. Oh, wow.
That's exactly how I feel
about it. Is that how you feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, it's like you caught the slow maze encore. Like, at some point, you'll be like, I was there for that.
Sure, it's not like maze. Y'all, get your panties out of a bunch, because it's not like Maze, it's changing its DNA forever, okay?
You're
not
going anywhere.
No.
Like, they play Maze with some real regularity.
Exactly. It's not like, oh shit, the fucking, you know, 17-year bust out of Maze and they completely fucked up the sanctity of it. Like, what? Anyway, I think it was cool. I encourage them to, you know, I mean, God, you've been a band for 30 years. You have all these tunes. Obviously, the Slow Llama is the, you know, the benchmark of a fast tune turned slow. And everybody's always talking about the Slow Llama, which people tend to enjoy, I would say.
I think people like the Slow Llama, but not the Slow Maze.
Correct. Well, you know, guys, whatever happens, happens. And you were there for the debut of the Slow Maze. So this is great.
The show also featured a Strawberry Letter 23, a Timber, Jerry the Mule.
Yep.
I saw a tweet that said, I would hear Timber at every show. And I kind of agree with that. And I think it's a really funny premise that they play the song Timber, Jerry the Mule, which is not an original song. I think it's a cover.
Sure.
At every show is just like the one repeat that they do. But yes, that is an awesome tune. And isn't played very often.
Totally. Right? And I love it too, by the way. I'm a big fan. Big fan. And then, of course, the thing that really everyone got very excited about, it's nice that people got excited, was the, was it 34 minutes of sand?
Yeah, that was the Sunday night show.
The Sunday show. We're just skipping ahead here.
I watched the webcast of, and yes, the sand was 34 minutes and 15 seconds, and then they played Sigma Oasis with real gusto, I must say. Hyped on their own jamming and went back into sand for another minute 15.
They just couldn't let it go.
They couldn't let it go.
It's a beautiful thing. Sand, of course, off of Farmhouse, a favorite in the live canon. Maybe I'm just speaking about myself because it is one of my favorite songs to hear live. And but it seems pretty, you know,
ubiquitously
beloved.
A very popular jam vehicle.
Sure. And this went the distance. This went the distance.
This definitely went the distance.
I like the concept that they go into Sigma Oasis and they're like, actually, you know what I'm saying? We got to go back into sand. That's just fantastic. Everyone got a real treat there. I think that's very exciting. And of course, it's on par with in length with Big Cypress, also an exceedingly long sand.
Totally.
Didn't surpass it, allegedly, but came close.
I saw Fish play in Camden in 2009, and they jammed sand for 22 minutes to open the second set. And I think that was the longest I'd seen them take a song out at that point. That was my fourth show.
Wow.
And I
Shit.
Remember being completely floored and wowed because, I don't know, the patient, I mean, I really love the extended narrative and letting something take its time to really show itself.
Sure.
It's actually a lot about what I read about with James Joyce. And the same thing goes for jamming. I mean, there is something to playing something short and sweet and delivering something in a short amount of time, but there's also, it's a almost a different thing entirely to let something just breathe and go and
100%. And this band, I would argue, is, you know, the best in the world at this particular moment in time at letting that happen.
Oh, yeah.
There's without a doubt. So it's pretty amazing to watch the masters of that specific craft let things unfurl by their own design.
Yes.
You know.
And this was a nice little treat to get these eight Fish shows as a little spring run.
So cool. So cool. And now all the boys fly home on their private jet and everybody is home for the next little bit, which is pretty cool. And then, you know, they got to gear up for a very intensive summer tour. It's coming right around the bend sooner than we think.
Yep. Starting July 14th at the Xfinity Center in Mansfield, Massachusetts.
Wow.
Fish will be on the road from then. You know, through August 14th. And then, of course, the four-night run at Dick's, which is, you know, in some ways routine and to be expected. And this year also gets this extra show.
Amazing thing. And then amazing between thing. Now and Mansfield, Trey is doing a couple, two, three acoustic shows here and there. And Tab is playing Peach Fest. And, you know, it's not like the man can sit still for very long. So you'll have plenty of opportunities to see some Trey, get some soundboards. It's a beautiful, beautiful time to be alive.
It's a beautiful time to be alive.
And what else do we got, Isaac? We have, you know, some festival news. We have festival hot goss.
Right. Swanee Hulaween. A festival established by the String Cheese Incident. Is that correct?
I believe that is correct. They certainly play a lot there.
Yeah, they play a lot there. Has announced their 2022 lineup from October 27th to October 30th of this year. You can, at the Spirit of Swanee Music Park, catch the String Cheese Incident along with artists like Portugal the Man, STS9, Sylvan Esso, Black Pumas, The Disco Biscuits, Lettuce, Margo Price, Fearless Flyers, and so many others.
So many others.
Including Karina.
Oh, you can catch me there. You can. It's an unbelievable thing. I love it down there, Isaac. It's pretty crazy. That is a wild place to put music on. People go completely ham there. I have been very lucky to play that festival like maybe 5 times with Marco, and I actually did play it in 2019 with my own band, with Johnny Kimmock subbing in on drums because I lost my own Chris Corsico to his other band at the time, Argonaut and Wasp. So crazy stuff. It'll be great to be there with my brothers in arms, Adam November and Chris Corsico. And man, that is a I'm telling you, that is a festival site close to my heart. It is freaky deaky down there. People get into some crazy shit. It is beautiful. The Spanish moss, you know, water, weird beach thing with like black sand. It's an interesting place. So it's very cool. And man, I don't know. I just remember Jamiroquai. Crazy.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I don't know. My brain goes straight to Jamiroquai on this crazy hill watching all the freaky people get down, and it's like sort of Halloween and shit's going down. It's a wonderful thing. So I really look forward to that. And this will segue nicely into our next thing, but shout out to Michael Berg, who books the festival, who also booked the inaugural Sacred Rose Festival, which we will talk about in a moment with a nice lineup addition there. But Michael Berg has done a beautiful job here, you know, in both festivals. But, you know, Hulaween, it's kind of amazing how, you know, keeping definitely its roots and toes deeply entrenched in jam world while also having the Portugal the Mans and the Sylvan Essos and the Black Pumas, like very cool kind of crossover stuff with the poppier and the more mainstream. And, you know, I think he bridges the gap beautifully, and I can't wait to be down there.
Sick.
Pretty sick, dude. Pretty sick. And yes, Sacred Rose.
Yeah. Big announcement out of the Sacred Rose camp this week. Let's see if we can talk about this without using the word Americana.
Let's see if we can use this without using the words Chicago's finest.
Let's see if we can talk about this without mentioning fathers.
Ooh, why don't you just go for it?
Philco. Phil Lesh to welcome Wilco's Jeff Tweedy and Nels Klein.
As part of Phil Lesh and Friends.
How about it?
Dude, man, I'm trying not to use any of our buzzwords, but it's just fantastic. This is great. Dad rock. I said it.
You know, having Phil at a festival is just kind of like an icing on the cake a lot of the time now. I mean, it's amazing that he is still at it, and it's just like wonderful to see him play bass and bring people together and revisit so many. He really digs deep into the catalog in terms of Grateful Dead tunes. So really like wide array of different sounds and songs from the Grateful Dead world. And to bring out Jeff Tweedy, who is an original songwriter who stands up in like the, you know, one of the greatest of right?
Like, I couldn't agree more. I think you'd have legions of people who agree with you.
Yeah, one of the greatest songwriters.
100%.
And Nels Klein, who is just, I'm blown away by that guy and what he does artistically.
One of the greatest to ever do what he does. He is a guitar player beyond the boundaries of guitar playing. He goes far beyond prowess on the fretboard with what he brings to the table. He is, you know, knee deep in the electronics and the craziness and the absolute bombastic, you know, ability far beyond being a ridiculously proficient player, whether he was unplugged or not, which is an amazing, you know, hybridization of talent.
It's just so cool to throw them in the mix.
The coolest. And it's just the best. And of course, you know, we weren't going to say it, but man, Chicago, this is a festival taking place, you know, in Chicago, or rather in Bridgeview, Illinois, which I believe is exceedingly close to Chicago. How do I know that? I'm flying to O'Hare and we'll be there in about 30 to 40 minutes, I think. God, I hope I'm correct on that. Anyway, this is kind of the most incredible nod to Chicago's greatest songwriter. One of Chicago's greatest songwriters. But, you know, Jeff Tweedy, this is a beautiful thing. Phil, why are you so good? And by the way, Phil, just this last weekend at the Frost Amphitheater with, you know, Phil and friends welcomed Scott Metzger.
Yep.
John Scofield. Mm-hmm. I believe Joe Russo.
Yes, Joe Russo.
And you know,
Ben Montench.
And Ben Mont. Like, so sick. And it's just, like you say, it's always a treat to see Phil play bass, but I love just the sort of camaraderie and ability to bring, you know, different people together under the umbrella of the Grateful Dead songbook, which, as we know, literally knows no bounds. Yeah. And fucking God bless it for that. It's an amazing thing. And man, I can't wait to see Philco. This is sick, because I too, thank you to Michael Berg, books both festivals. I will be performing at both the Sacred Rose Festival and Halloween this late summer / fall, which is yet again a beautiful, beautiful blessing of my life to be able to play these things and go and see music like that. What?
Totally, totally.
That's sick, dude. I'm really excited. This is super cool. And fucking long live Phil Lesh, man.
Yeah, I mean, he's out on the road in all of these different configurations this summer, including a one-off with the Q, welcoming back Jimmy Herring and Warren Haynes. You know, so he really does keep good company. And, you know, he has these residencies at the Capitol Theater. He's going to play a bunch of different weekends in October. Who knows? Maybe he'll bring Jeff Tweedy and Nels Klein along.
It's true. I mean, talk about promoters flushing their pockets, sending offers all around the country to Philco.
And Jeff Tweedy is like, you want me to play Grateful Dead music for 3 nights?
It's like, what are you talking about? Oh, just kidding. He's probably like, yeah, man, what? Wait, for what kind of money? What? You know, I mean, who even knows? But it's a great concept. I got to say, it never occurred to me.
I saw Wilco at the Cap and they encored with Ripple.
That's cool.
Which is very cool.
Damn. Wow. Well, I mean, long live both bands. Obviously, yep. The Wilco songbook is incredible. And I wonder, man, are they going to do All Dead? What if they snuck in a little California Stars on the side?
Who could happen. Knows? I mean, when Trey and Paige played with Phil, they played Prince Caspian. A song I Heard the Ocean Sing came into the Phil and Friends. A
few things in there, yeah. That 99 classic shit.
Repertoire,
right?
Yeah.
Man, God. It's a beautiful thing. I can't even believe, you know, that we are so lucky to get to fuss over and think about more Phil and Friends. And we're sitting here in the year is 2022. This guy has been making music that has sustained all of us in various forms since the 60s. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. How does this happen?
I don't even know. Sometimes I see Phil Lesh at like downtown New York City eateries. You've seen him in Soho. He's
me
just
and
like
Phil
clearly
Lesh and James
the
Purse.
Man in so many ways.
Unbelievable. So cool. And of course, Graham Lesh, his son, also played this weekend at the Frost Amphitheater. And I believe he is playing in Philco as well, or am I tripping on that?
Yes, I think that's right. Correct. And John Molo on drums, and you know, some of the Usual suspects for Phil these days.
Yeah, which is really cool, man. And it's
And Carl Denson's in the band.
Dude, Carl D's going to be up in
there. I will see
with
the Rolling Stones on Thursday.
Man, come on now. It all just comes back. It all keeps rolling around, man. The same characters, new characters, characters on characters. I can't even believe it.
I hope Carl Denson runs a exercise workout workshop at Sacred Rose. I would take that.
I would take it too.
I want to, you know, lift weights with that guy.
Yeah, I mean, he gets down and dirty in the gym.
He's awesome.
He is really the shit. I had the great pleasure of sitting next to Carl D. the front row of our United flight from Bozeman, Montana to Albany. Or wait, no, I guess we went from Bozeman to Boston and then I transferred and went to Albany. I don't know where he went, but man, we had a great hang. Love that guy. He's so good. He's so great. Beautiful, beautiful thing. Wow. Well, Isaac, we've covered a lot that has happened, a lot that will happen. God. And the present moment ain't so bad either.
Totally. We're just on the precipice of summer and you know, time is right for dancing in the streets.
You heard it here first, folks. You heard it here first. You see, I'm overwhelmed with inappropriate happiness. I can't even put my sentences together. But let me tell you, Isaac, I feel good to put a bow on this thing. Do you have any words of wisdom for the people? Any final thoughts to cap this all off as your last episode on American soil before you head off?
I'm still thinking about Jamiroquai.
Oh, dude. Abso-fucking-lutely you're still thinking about Jamiroquai. What year was that? 2018? It was next level. It was truly some crazy shit. I'm telling you, the spirit of the Suwannee Park down. There's something different going on down there. Let me just tell you guys, one of the most horrendous hotel experiences I ever had was after playing that delightful festival. It was the Airport Hotel. It was by the Jacksonville Airport, the Red Roof Inn. The year was 2016. I was young and impressionable. I went in. There were, you know, empty Dorito bags, condom wrappers, Snickers wrappers. We're talking Diet
Terrible.
Coke bottles.
Well, well, well.
It was wildly unfortunate.
If
and
it isn't the 16-year-old who said I was drinking Diet Coke in the Red Roof Inn.
Dude, straight up. And before that, Marco's drummer at the time, shout out to Mr. Andy Borger.
One of my favorite people on the planet.
One of the greatest humans to ever walk the earth. Also, you know, famously has played with Tom Waits and Ani DiFranco and Nora
Katie
Jones.
Katie Lang.
And Katie Lang. And now he's on tour with the Pink Martinis, Pink Martini.
Singular.
Next level human. He, outside this Red Roof Inn, picked up a snake. And the snake bit him. Because you don't fucking pick up a snake. And he was newly in love with a beautiful woman named Sarah, with whom he now has a child and a domestic partnership. And he decided to FaceTime Sarah and say, look, I picked up a snake and it bit me. Ha ha ha. To which she didn't find that very amusing. And then he spent the rest of the night sort of in front of the Red Roof Inn by the Jacksonville Airport apologizing for his careless behavior.
Oh, no.
Sarah, while I said, good night, Andy. Good night, Sarah. And I proceeded to sleep on top of the covers in a hoodie because Lord knows what was underneath those blankets. And that was, you know, a formative experience for me, Isaac. That was really fantastic. They can't all be the Four Seasons, but man, I've avoided the Red Roof Inn like the plague since then, and so has Marco. So thank you to all who keep me safe from the condom wrappers strewn all over the hotel
and the snakes. If you're going to Halloween, plan accordingly.
Exactly. No snakes, no Red Roof Inn. Sorry, Red Roof, we do not endorse you here. Mm-mm. Hyatt though, thumbs up.
I love a Hyatt.
Hyatt's fantastic. I recommend it. So that's our word to the wise. Yep. Okay. So that's good. What else do I got? I will see you at Bonnaroo next week. Then follow the arrow, Marco Benevento's inaugural festival taking place in the Hudson Valley in Acard, New York, which I thought was a chord, but no, John Medeski told me, who is a resident, he tells me it's Akkord, so I will follow suit.
I like John Medeski told me.
John Medeski told me. I know, it's so unnecessary, but he did.
No, it's good.
But he did. We'll be playing with my own band and Marco's band at Follow the Arrow.
Seeing music in the Hudson Valley is one of my favorite things, personally.
It's delightful.
It's a very special thing. 100%. I seek it out actively.
It makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. And it's going to be a great, you know, a lot of friends on the bill, beautiful things. We got Michaela Davis. We got Auntie Ballas. We've got just about everybody that Marco is pals with, which is great. Namely, The Slip.
Oh.
So.
Let me tell you something about The Slip.
Yeah, you know, the year was in 2001. Eisenhower had just come out. Sorry.
Like, I mean, yeah, I get it, but like, what?
People love it, man. People love it. I'm here for it. Love Brad and Andrew. Sure. They're awesome.
Yeah.
It will be a great time, man. It will be a great time. Yeah. And of course, our dispatches next week will be next level. We will talk about everything you've done, everything I've done, everywhere we will go. It's a beautiful thing. And to our fellow listeners, thank you guys so much for tuning in. We look forward to talking to you next week. That's all I got.
That's all I got.
Cool. Take care, everybody.
Until next time. Bye-bye.
Osiris.
Hey, you. Do you have any plans this year? How's that going? Did you get 2020? Well, welcome to a brand new podcast called 2020, where myself, Benny Goodman, and my good friends Corey Pazin and Siobhan Cronin from the band Lost Symphony also got 2020.
And since the world ended this year, we decided why not just check in with some of our friends in the music industry and see how everyone's doing.
We're going to get a candid look at life on and off the stage, as well as the mindset of some of the most successful people in the entertainment industry.
New episodes drop every Sunday and Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern.
And you can listen at 2020-D.com, SoundTalentMedia.com, or on your favorite podcast app.
Hi. This is Henry Kay, host of the number one music history podcast, Rootsland. Come with me on a journey to Kingston, Jamaica, where we explore the world of reggae music and the untold stories of some of the genre's greatest legends. From the ghettos and tenement yards where the music was born, to the island's iconic recording studios. We are so excited to team up with Osiris Media, the leading storyteller in music. Because as you'll hear, sometimes the story is the best song.